So just to start off, I'm going to give a little bit of a background. I'm Sevjan and I'm the marketing executive for Knowledge Train. We are in partnership with Agile KRC. We do have Richard with us, so thank you so much for joining, Richard.
Thank you.
Just before I head over to Richard, we are going to do the Q&A slightly different this time. So what we are going to do is Richard is going to go over some concepts, and then we are going to have a quick Q&A. So if you do have any questions, please note them down in the chat section, and Richard will go over them. We will have roughly three different Q&A and then one big one at the end. So whenever you think of a question or if you have any comments, you can always jot them down. So Richard, over to you.
Thank you, Sevjan. That's much appreciated. Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for joining. Let me just move the slides on. So hopefully, Sevjan, we're at the welcome introductions slide.
I'm so sorry, what do you say, Richard?
So I'm just wanting to double check that you're seeing the welcome and introductions
Yep,
slide.
we can see it. Yep, if anyone can't see it, please let us know, but I can see it.
Excellent, thank you. So very briefly, in my current role, which I've been in for the last sort of 6 months, I'm working for a digital leadership consultancy. So a fairly small specialist kind of organization. But a lot of the subjects that we're going to talk about this afternoon really came from 5 years I had with Sopra Steria, who are a large kind of IT services digital consulting organization. And I had a role there of Director of Program Project Management. And for the 5 years I was there, whilst there were many facets to the role, my principal focus was on developing program project managers. So I've managed to work, very fortunately for me, with some very clever colleagues in learning and development. And I learned a lot about the kind of the science and the approach towards developing people. And we developed program project managers from people aspiring to get into project management, graduate and apprentices starting their project management careers, through to very experienced, very senior program directors. So I see on the poll, we have a mixture. We have some people who are considering a career in project management, which is good. We have some people who recently joined project management. We've got some colleagues on the call who've been in project management for 2 years or longer. And I hope that there's something within this discussion this afternoon for everybody. And really the intent is to help you understand how the training and accreditation that you're doing with Knowledge Train sits in the broader context of your own development, personal development and professional development. So you can see we're going to explore a number of topics during the course of this afternoon. And as Sevjan said, what we'll do is we'll break it into sections so that we can reflect at the end of each section and take any immediate kind of questions that would help to clarify. So that's the outline for this afternoon. And really to set the scene, what I'd like you to kind of consider is about training or learning, as I would refer to it. Principally, it's about building knowledge. And there's a quote there that I really like from Confucius, which talks about, as you can read, I hear and I forget, I see and I remember, I do and I understand. And why that's important and why that's relevant for this afternoon is that when you, for example, go on a Prince 2 course or you go on a managing portfolios kind of course, you're getting knowledge, which at that point in time is largely theoretical. And it's when you actually take that knowledge and you get to practically apply it in your workplace, that's where you start to build competence and proficiency and expertise. And it makes you more effective as a project manager because that knowledge is built into understanding, it's built into practical application. And it's a little bit like an analogy where, before you actually learn to drive, you do quite a lot of theoretical knowledge around the highway code before you first start the engine and drive the car. And you do a little bit of time in the setting the car, understanding what the controls do and how it works. And over time, that knowledge with the experience of driving in different conditions on different kinds of roads helps you become a proficient driver. And the same's true in any professional kind of field about learning how project management in this case works, what the disciplines are, what the tools are, what the techniques are. It's increasing as you apply those and use those, you learn how to refine them. You learn how to use them to best advantage. And so we're trying to put that learning into the context of your own personal and professional development. So where I'd like to start from is something called the 70-20-10 model. And this is academic research that's still very much at the forefront of learning and development best practice. And what it really talks about is the kind of pie chart in the middle of there kind of illustrates is that we best learn and develop as individuals through what we call a blended mix. So training or the learning that you might do through Prince 2, for example, is a really important element, but it's part of that 10% that's called formal learning. And in effect, when we break these three forms of learning down, the formal learning is something you'll be most familiar with, which is training. And where, you know, where you go on a training course and the knowledge is relevant to the role, and it's something that you have a development opportunity that it helps to support. And when you're learning something and you can actually contextualize it and understand what it means in a practical sense, then that formal learning is a really important and a really, really powerful part of your learning as a project manager. Ultimately, where we look at the 70%, and these percentages are illustrative rather than prescriptive, but broadly, 70%, the vast majority of your learning and development will be in your workplace. It'll be the time that you spend at work doing project management activity, kind of learning on the job a little bit, you know, through experience. On occasion, you'll end up shadowing a colleague and you'll sometimes just observe colleagues and take lessons from them in terms of how they operate and the kind of things they do. You'll get feedback in your workplace, and day by day, you'll get to practice, repeat, and refine. And you'll understand how best to take that project management knowledge and build it into what you actually do on a day-to-day basis and become increasingly effective as a project manager. And broadly, those are the two major sources of learning and development that people tend to focus on at work. But one of the themes for this afternoon is actually, when you take the formal learning and the interactive learning, so training, learning on the job, that's 80% of your potential learning and development. And what's really important is this concept of social learning that we're going to explore, which is broadly said, how you learn from other people, how you learn through interaction with other people. And that takes many forms. Sometimes you may have a colleague at work who will coach you or mentor you or guide you. And quite often it's through a network, and it might be a professional network, it might be a social network. But every kind of opportunity you have where you interact with others is a learning experience. That's really important as we'll explore as we move forward through the conversation. So the 70-20-10 model talks to us about how we learn and develop. So we learn through formal learning, we learn through practical application of the job and working as a project manager and gaining experience in project management. And then we learn through that social interaction. But what's really important to consider as well is where we learn. And in the majority of cases, that learning will be naturally occurring through the role that you do within the company that you work for. So 80% of your learning and development will be in your workplace. But the 20%, the kind of social learning, as it were, That can well be achieved and part of what you do at work. But equally, you can go beyond the workplace and you could, for example, join a professional association such as the APM or the PMI. You could join a mentoring program, either as a mentor or as a mentee. You could join other kind of social networks, and all of which go towards helping you build and develop from that social learning. And in my experience, that 20% comes mostly outside of your workplace. And it's the kind of thing that you can make choices about and you can kind of prioritize based on where you think you are in your development at any point in time. But it's something that I would encourage everyone to kind of think about and seek out, because it adds an extra dimension to the development you get naturally in your workplace. And so I'm just going to stop and pause for the first time for any immediate questions just on those concepts of how we learn and develop and where we learn and develop. Is there anything on the chat channel, Sir-Chan?
So a few people are typing, so okay. Let's just give a few minutes.
That's fine. We're good for time.
Yeah. We have one question. How would you advise to engage in that social learning?
So I think there's a number of opportunities, and we'll touch on some of those as we move forward. But the subject closest to my heart, I think, is around mentoring. And so we'll touch on mentoring as we go through this afternoon. But in the majority of cases, and you know, throughout our career, having a mentor is really important and really helpful to get a perspective and to help us kind of understand more about ourselves and about our development opportunities and about our potential. So I would definitely say mentoring is a great thing to look at, and it's a really fantastic way to develop through social learning. And I'd emphasize that as well as being mentored, and as colleagues on the call who've got quite a lot of experience already in project management, there's something really powerful in actually being a mentor as well. And in its own right, being a mentor is developmental. There's a lot of skills that we learn in that space, and I'll touch on some of those as we move forward. But to answer the question and say the major area that I would encourage people to think about and explore is mentoring.
We have another question. Do you have any recommendations on networks for PMs?
Yes. So I've benefited a great deal through being a member of the Association for Project Management, the APM. Very similarly, we've got the Project Management Institute, the PMI. The difference really between the two is that the APM is a UK-based not-for-profit organisation. And therefore, the networking opportunities, now we're out of lockdown, include quite a lot of face-to-face opportunities. So, for example, next week, I'm doing a face-to-face event through the APM in Birmingham, specifically around mentoring. And the APM launched a mentoring program within Program Project Management last year. And there's a lot of network events around through the APM, some of which are webinars, and they take an hour, and there's all kinds of subjects get covered there. There's project management type webinars around risk, around data, around change, around the project management disciplines. But also there's quite a lot of webinars that explore more behavioural kind of sciences as well. So there's a really broad range of kind of learning and networking opportunities through being part of a professional society. And I really would encourage people, particularly because it's UK-based, I would say the APM. And through the engagement I've had, I've learned a lot, had an opportunity to meet a lot of people, and solve quite a lot of my professional challenges.
Yeah, thank you. Amelia has asked if we can send her the slides. Based on that comment, we will be sending everyone the slides as well as the recordings. It will either be tomorrow or beginning of next week. Just wanted to point that out. We have a final question. If we only spend 10% in formal learning, why do companies place so much emphasis on specific programs like Prince 2?
So I think firstly, in the world of project management, what's really important is consistency of practice. And therefore, for people to go on a training course such as the APM PMQ or such as Prince 2, there's some really important foundational knowledge that you gain, which is really important to help you progress through a project management career. So a bit like the analogy of learning to drive, you could be taught to drive by, you know, a family member or a neighbor. Someone could teach you to drive, but a qualified driving instructor will give you all of that training and guidance and context that give you the best form of understanding that knowledge and knowing what the right practices are. So for project management, understanding the methods and the practice is really important in its own right. And secondly, Going back to the Confucius quote, where you have training on a subject that's relevant to your role and it's important to you, it's really powerful. When you can learn something 1 week and practically apply it the following week, then that formal learning, whilst it's 10%, is incredibly effective and a really vital part of your development. So I think, what some companies do that isn't so effective in my experience is put people through training. Maybe they put people through agile project management training, but then they don't give them a chance to manage agile projects, in which case you could just as well have read a book. So I think the importance that companies place on training is absolutely justified, and it's correct, because you couldn't really develop without the right degree of training. I think, though, sometimes it's an overused resource, and going on a training course and not being able to apply the knowledge isn't anywhere near as effective as actually going on a training course and then going back into work and applying it in the workplace. I hope that helps.
Yeah. We do have one comment. The driving instructor analogy was very relatable. Are we training? So that's good. If no one has no more comments or questions, let's move on. If you do have any questions, you can always jot them down. We'll go with them after.
Okay, thank you. So what I'd like to talk about now is professional development and personal development. And the phrases get used quite a lot, but sometimes we're not clear about what it actually means and what the differences are and what the similarities are. So I just wanted to break that down a little bit. So when we talk about professional development, principally we're talking about your job, what you do day in, day out, week after week in your job. And it's rooted in your professional career and your workplace. And the intent behind professional development is building, in the role that you've got as a project manager, is building competence, proficiency, effectiveness. So professional development is about making you more comfortable in your work, more proficient in your work, and more effective in your work. And you go through a cycle effectively where you're building knowledge and you're applying knowledge, and you get that circle where there's knowledge and there's experience, and increasingly the combination of the knowledge that you have and the experience that you gain over time makes you more increasingly effective as a project manager. And that really goes towards the 70% of learning in the workplace and the 10% of formal learning. The kind of the thing to be aware of, though, the kind of the watchword, I would say, is that when you think about your work, you have an employer, and the organization's kind of motivation principally behind professional development is getting more out of you as an employee, as a colleague, as a project manager. And so it's an investment, a bit like the training that goes to the question previously, is really it's about making you more proficient in your role and in your workplace. On the other hand, when we start to think about personal development, this is very different. So it's really about your growth as a person. And personal development, as the name implies, is all about you. And we're all much more than the role we do at work. So we have a life outside of work, with family, with friends. And so relationship kind of skills and communication skills, interpersonal skills, all of those kind of things is really at the heart of personal development. And we're all much more comfortable when we get to know people and we get to understand people and we get to understand people as individuals. And so it's about behavioral skills more than technical skills. So personal development wouldn't really include disciplines such as risk management or planning. And most importantly, is personal development is about understanding and unlocking our potential. And everybody, however old they might be, however experienced they might be in any one particular kind of job, we all have an innate potential, which is much more than we've yet become. And so things like mentoring and coaching are designed specifically to help somebody understand their potential, understand what they can become. And so by and large, going back to professional development, usually in an organization, you'll have an appraisal, kind of performance management type of process, where you'll look at the year you've had and you'll set objectives for the next year. So it's quite a narrow focus in terms of time and in terms of your growth as an individual. Whereas when you think about personal development, it doesn't have an end limit of time. You may be thinking about where you'd like to get to in 10 years' time. You might be thinking generally about the kind of things you might want to be able to do in a number of years' time. And therefore, it helps you look beyond the workplace, and it helps you look beyond just what's coming up this year. And it helps you start to link what you want to do and how you want to kind of grow as an individual into what you're doing in a workplace and decisions you might make about changes in role, changes in the company that you work for, changes in the environment that you work in. And really what personal development's about is increasing your levels of self-awareness, understanding yourself better, understanding your motivations, understanding things that give you purpose and fulfillment, and understanding how you build relationships and develop emotional intelligence. So it's much more kind of philosophical rather than scientific. Whereas at work, you tend to have a career structure, and if you do these things, you get to the next level, which is great. And the two things really need to go hand in hand. So your professional development and personal development are kind of linked, and you get the best kind of professional development. You're able to achieve your kind of career and professional kind of goals, but in such a way you're still feeling purpose and fulfillment, and you get the best out of that in terms of enjoyment, in terms of comfort and security. And so ultimately, I think the thing to bear in mind with personal development is it's not always naturally occurring in the workplace. In a busy working environment, people will think about results. They'll think about what they've got to do next week, next month, maybe as far as next year. And so really, each of us has to kind of think about this and try and take actions ourselves to make sure that our personal development is given the same degree of kind of care and attention and focus as our professional development. And just to try and give that a little bit of shape, there's a kind of a Venn diagram type of scenario here where when you look at the top left and look at, you know, what does professional development mean, the kind of things naturally that you would learn at work in a project management career, and these are just a few examples, is you'll learn teamwork. You'll build knowledge through going on training courses, you'll gain experience for working on projects and different kinds of projects. You're probably given opportunities to work with people you consider as role models and people who you can shadow and learn from them. You'll build professional relationships, you'll build professional networks, and you'll gain insight, and ethics is a big part of project management. So as an example, that box on the left is about the kind of development professionally you would typically get in a workplace in a role such as project management. When you look at the right-hand box there, the personal development, this becomes much more about relationships. And so you can see a blend. There's professional relationships, there's personal relationships. But it's more being tuned into the kind of things that bring you purpose and fulfillment. It's also about thinking about your own well-being. You know, and mindfulness is increasingly important. And hopefully you're feeling a sense of security. So as you move perhaps from one professional role to the next, you have a promotion, you get more responsibility. That can be quite daunting. And so through personal development, we're better able to deal with those kind of changes and those kind of pressures. And in the middle, what kind of binds this together is the kind of skills that you'll build and the kind of techniques that you can use that really boosts your professional and your personal development are more about relationships. They're more about behaviours. They're more about what you might call soft skills. And so an ability to communicate is really important from both a professional and a personal perspective. What we call active listening is massively important as a project manager. It gets increasingly important as you become more senior and you have more accountability for projects and programmes. Empathy and benefiting from, but also being able to coach and mentor, is massively developmental. And so those examples in the middle of the page there with the kind of the mauve kind of ring around it, those are ultimately the most important facets of both professional and personal development. So let me just move on from there. And we're just going to have another quick kind of recap. So we covered previously the concepts of how people learn and develop. We then moved on to explore the environments where people can learn and develop. And what we've just covered really is trying to give you a clear understanding of what professional development looks like, what it means, what it contains, and then try and compare that to personal development and bring that together into where the common ground is and where you, what you might call the sweet spot is. So, Seb Chen, has that triggered any questions on the chat?
Not at the moment. If you do have any questions, please knock them down. We'll just give a few minutes just to see if anyone's typing, and then we'll just move on.
Okay. So while people have a chance to type or to consider, I think the thought process I'd ask you to kind of keep in mind as we go through this, it's almost like a little check and balance that you can do in your own role, in your own workplace, or even when you're thinking about how do I get into project management. And the stuff we touch on in a moment will go more to the heart of that. But you should be at any point in time able to reflect back and think, I can see in the role that I'm doing where my social learning comes in. You'll easily be able to see formal learnings. You go on training courses, you'll know when those are and what they did, and you'll be able to reflect on how they helped you. You'll be able to get a sense of, am I learning on the job? Am I learning in this role? And a greater sense of how you might boost that through social learning. And also, the good thing to check and balance periodically is, do I feel I'm developing both personally and professionally? And I think the word growth is a great word to think about. So when you think about your personal development over the last few years, do you feel you're growing as a person? There's a real kind of emotional sense to that that most people can relate to quite easily. So have any questions come in, Seb Chen?
We have a comment from Greg, very motivating, thank you. I can see one person typing.
Okay, thank you, Greg.
Let's move on. If you do have any questions, you can put them down in the chat.
Okay. So what we're going to do next is just think about development. And the analogy I always use is about development is a journey. And it's really important to kind of understand that, because sometimes we put ourselves under pressure because we think we have to achieve certain things by a certain time scale. I have to be a program manager by the time I'm 25, or I have to be a program manager the next 4 years, whatever that might be. And ultimately, that's not always realistic. And ultimately, what you think your target is doesn't turn out to be the target that you aspired to. And so it's a journey for a number of reasons, as you can see here. But some of the key elements are that a journey is all about planning and destination. But the motivation for going on that journey, the purpose, is really important. And so when you think about setting goals, the most important question I think to ask is, whilst understanding what the goal is really important, the best question is why. Why is that important to you? What will it bring for you? What will it bring for people around you? What will it change? And really exploring a goal, it builds emotional attachment, which is important because that's your fuel in this journey. Understanding not just where you're going, but why, and why it's important to you and the people around you, is a fundamental thing that will take you on that journey in the most effective and the most efficient kind of way. And so the fuel is your purpose, your motivations, and your desire to see that through. But journeys are unpredictable. Life is unpredictable. And therefore, you know, there used to be quite a big thing a few years ago when I was a little bit younger, people talk about making 5-year plans. And if you think about, you know, how much the world has changed in the last 5 years, you could never predict that. And therefore, trying to plan in great detail a life journey, a professional journey over a course of 5 years, you have to be prepared for circumstances to change. And also, as you grow, things that you might have felt were 5 years away might end up being 2 years away, much closer than you think. So development isn't a quick fix. Development is something you work at. It's systematic. It's ongoing. And it's almost like, you know, on your journey, if you were driving from London up to Scotland, you'd stop at the services a couple of times to refresh, recalibrate your journey. And your development's like that as well. There'll be points in time where it's really important to stop and reflect at how far you've come. Take strength from how far you've come as well, and recalibrate your goals and recalibrate your expectations, because the more you learn, the more opportunity you open up. And I use an analogy, you know, as you walk forward in life, as you go through personal development in particular, but personal professional development, every decision you make opens up new doors. It never closes a door behind you in any material kind of way. But the more you learn, the more opportunity you open up. And therefore, a journey that you might perceive as 5 years, 3 years, whatever it might be today, could turn out to be very different because of the steps you take and the development that you achieve in that distance. But a journey, you know, you often require support and guidance. So on a journey up to Scotland in the car, sat-nav would be a measure of support and guidance. My wife in the passenger seat would be a source of guidance of sorts. But all of those factors are really important when you think about your development. And I'd encourage you to think about it as a journey for these reasons, you know, and manage your expectations, but realize that, you know, you take out what you put in to a large extent. But the more that you achieve, the more you develop, the more opportunity you get, and the more your goals will change because you'll be capable of achieving more. So if we then talk about the foundations for your development, and so for colleagues on the call who are considering a career in project management, this is, I think, a really important page for you. For colleagues already in a project management career, this is a really important page for you as well. And what this really brings to life is that when we look at developing project managers, as I've done for a number of years with a number of clever people around me, there are three foundational elements, which are kind of shown here. So there's knowledge, there's experience, and there's behavioral skills. They are the three foundations. And it kind of goes back a little bit to the driving analogy, where once you understand the mechanics of driving, the experience is all about the kind of roads you're on, driving at night rather than during the day, driving in snow at some point, driving on a motorway rather than on a town centre kind of road. And so, whilst these foundations are all always important, as you go through a project management career, the focus at a point in time changes. So at the start of your career in project management, knowledge is the principal need. And therefore, going on project management training at the start of your career is really important, because that's almost like the highway code when you're learning to drive. Once you get to a level, and probably as a yardstick, 2 years in project management, the determining factor about how quickly and effectively you develop thereafter is about the breadth of experience that you get. And breadth of experience will mean different types of project, different types of life cycles, different types of solutions, different types of environments, different types of people. So a breadth of experience. And ultimately, when you start thinking about program management, portfolio management, think about being a program director, portfolio director, whatever those more senior roles will be, the reality is you're actually doing less project management. And in reality, you've got a team of people who are managing teams of people. And therefore, those behavioral skills of communication, those behavioral skills of actually being able to engage with people, and engaging with people is very different to communicating with people, in the sense that it's a very two-way thing. People need to hear the words that you say, they need to understand it, and they need to feel somehow kind of motivated by that and inspired by that. And also, as you move through a career in kind of project and program management, the more senior stakeholders you get engaged with, the less detail they will share with you, the less detail they will want from you. And therefore, you have to interpret much more, you have to understand much more, you have to be able to translate higher level, more strategic kind of messages into practical actions that you can take down through the project team. And so that's the kind of journey that you'll go on. And where you're thinking about a career in project management, the great thing is, when we talk about behavioral skills and the importance that we attach upon those for personal development and how that really helps accelerate your professional development, the behavioral skills we're talking about, you start to learn from the point you're born. So as soon as we start to kind of toddled. As soon as we start to walk, as soon as we start to speak and engage with people, albeit at school or in a sports team, those are the behavioural skills that really carry you forward professionally. It's all about being able to make relationships, understand people, communicate with people, build rapport. So in the same way, I'd encourage you just to checkpoint periodically as you go through your career. And I would say, you know, every couple of months would be a good kind of yardstick to use. Am I getting development in my workplace? Am I getting that formal learning that I need? Am I getting the benefit of social learning? Am I developing both personally and professionally? And ask yourself, you know, point in time when you think about appraisals or you think about, you know, some changes you might make professionally, where am I in terms of my knowledge? Where am I in terms of my experience? Where am I in terms of my behavioral skills? Because you will get to a point where when we talk about knowledge and training, you might be talking about leadership training rather than project management training, for example. So I'm just going to pause on this page because this is probably the most critical one for everybody on the call, irrespective of where you are in your professional journey. And also for colleagues who are thinking about starting a career in project management, you know, don't think about you haven't got project management experience necessarily, because recent research would say that 1 in 11 people in the UK workforce have had a role within projects. So being part of a project team, if you're not a project manager, is project experience. You know, and knowledge, so, you know, understanding PRINCE2 is really important. It helps you, you know, when you go in for an interview and employers are looking at you, they'll make a differentiation. You know, if they can see that you're making an investment in project management and you're committed to project management to the extent you've been on a training course or you've read a you know, relevant kind of book. And experience can be relative. You can relate experience you've had outside of project management into a project management role, particularly where it's about organization. It's about achieving milestones. It's about planning. A lot of the components of project management are things we do day in, day out in our personal lives. But ultimately, for people in a project management career, I would say really focus on breadth of experience and behaviors. And your knowledge gap will always exist. There'll always be an opportunity for training, but you can think more carefully and make a better investment of your own time in training, in cognizance of trying to maintain these three foundational elements. So from there, a very, very simple message. And I think this is really important and quite often gets overlooked because we think about projects quite mechanically in terms we go through. So PRINCE will talk to you about phases. You know, the APM will talk to you about a life cycle. But ultimately, the major reflection I have for my career, and I would go back and do things quite differently, understanding what I understand today, because I think when you come down to it and you look at it through the lens of projects delivered by people, with people, for people, then the word that clearly leaps out is that word people. And we understand a lot more these days around individuals. We understand about neurodiversities. We understand about personality traits. And therefore, without an ability to effectively understand yourself and without an ability to understand and recognize the differences in other people, and make those differences become the strengths of a diverse team, then no amount of, you know, having a really good risk log or having a very well-constructed plan will make a project successful. People make projects successful, and people who engage and inspire fundamentally are the most effective project managers. So having spoken about the foundations, and just a recap on those, there's also a concept of enablers and accelerators. And this kind of ties into the context of social learning. It ties into the context of the importance of behavioral skills. And so enablers through someone's project management career, training, absolutely. So formal learning, training is always going to be important, but it's got to be the right training for the right reason at the right time. But professional memberships, professional accreditation, so you can actually evidence, you know, a level of understanding, a level of achievement, that's really important. And the concept of continuing professional development, CPD, you'll hear that a lot if you haven't already. And that really goes back to the journey analogy. You know, development is ongoing. The more you develop, the more your opportunities to develop further start to open up before you. And the accelerators really go towards that behavioral skills kind of piece about the benefit you can get from being coached or mentored, the benefit you can get from being a coach or a mentor, and networking in a number of different scenarios. Every conversation you have with somebody is a learning opportunity, you know, and really tapping into that is just such a massive part. And quite often it's not widely recognized and not widely acted on. And it, as I say, it just ties back again when you look at the accelerators and you look at the graphic in the bottom left-hand corner and think about behavior skills and their significance, self-awareness, communication, active listening. You don't have to wait to a certain point in your career to really focus on developing behavioral skills. It's not you have to do one thing after the other, but knowledge followed by experience is a kind of a critical path through a project management career. But every moment you spend investing in behavioral skills at any point in your career or before a career in project management will be a fantastic investment that you'll reap the benefits from as you go through both personal and professional development. So moving forwards, so this is the last kind of detailed slide in the discussion. So five principles. So the first thing is, whilst there's a lot of people at work and in mentoring kind of programs and friends, so people outside the workplace, a lot of people will want to support you, want to help you, and will give you you know their time and their insight and their support. But really it is an ownership thing. It's your journey. You have to take that ownership and you have to kind of do all you can to make it happen and carry on that journey. But also, as we sit here today, talk about development, the natural temptation is to think about where you go from today into the future. And I think a very underutilized kind of opportunity is one of reflection. And if you were to think about from the moment that you were kind of born and you started to kind of walk and talk, how far you have come on your journey, whatever age you're at and whatever level you feel you've got to, you have covered an awful lot of ground. You have met a lot of people. You have learned a lot of things. You've achieved a lot of things. You've influenced a lot of people. And so going periodically through a point of reflection is really important because we tend to overlook what we've achieved. And you take confidence from reflection, but also you learn from it as well. You go back and reflect on things that work well. How do you do more of that? You go back and look at things where you think, actually, benefit of hindsight, I could have done that better. What do you do next time? And from there, you know, that sense of purpose. And you don't need to have your goals written down, you know, on 17 pages in great detail. Quite often, development is a sense of direction. And if every day you can feel you've taken a step in the direction you're trying to get to, and if you think about you're going on a long hike and you can just about see the horizon, as long as you take steps and you're going towards the horizon, you are developing. It won't be big, long jumps. It won't be great strides. It'd be incremental steps that all of a sudden break through a barrier or give you that kind of opportunity. But you'll need support and take it wherever it's given. Take it gratefully in the workplace. Seek it out through role models, through mentors, through people in your network. And it's a journey. It's ongoing. So have the stamina to keep focus and stick with it. So that's the end of the detailed discussion. A quick recap of the subjects we've covered there on the left and the page we've just been through on the right. So Sofiane, if there's any specific questions on what we've just covered, happy to take those. Otherwise, I'm all yours for Q&A.
Yep. We do have a few questions.
Okay.
Can you say any more about gaining an increasing breadth of experience? I think I'm at this stage.
I can. So I'm not sure what kind of field of project manager in or what kind of industry sector, but my background's technology. And so a great example is, you know, I was in an environment where I was in an in-house kind of IT team. So I wasn't really learning a great deal about budgets. I wasn't really learning a great deal about contracts and commercial things. So I left and I joined a consulting organization, for example, because what I wanted to get was not just about project management in the sense of plans and risk and milestones. I wanted to understand project management in the context of a client engagement, in the context of a contract, in the context of a fixed price contract with a budget. So increasing breadth of experience is different types of project, different types of solutions, different types of methods, whether it's agile, whether it's APM, whether it's PRINCE2 or something in-house. It's all those different types of project scenarios that build an experience you'll always lean back on as you go further through your career.
We have another question. Thank you for that, Richard. What are your thoughts on traditional waterfall approach, Prince 2, compared to more agile approaches and Scrum, Kanban, etc.?
Well, I think largely the industry at large and the world at large is moving towards greater agility, and largely because of just such a rapid pace of innovation and change. However, where we talk about waterfall, there's always a place for a waterfall kind of methodology. So, for example, if you were thinking about project management around construction, or project management where, for example, you're going to design and build an aircraft, there's certain things you can't find out through trial and evaluation, certain things that have to have that upfront design to be right. But by and large, the key element is picking the right method for the right project. But generally the trend and you know what our clients demand more is increasing agility. And I think we'll all get, as project managers, more towards a balance of it's agile, and a more waterfall, more linear type approach will be more of an exception. But if you don't choose the right method for the right project, the project will fail.
Another question we have is, you mentioned as you communicate with more senior teams, the less they want to be told. Are you a fan of having an elevator pitch ready at all times, just in case?
Yes, full stop. And I learned that the hard way. I think that, you know, what happens is that you're talking to people who are senior and they're busy. They've got a lot of things in their head, and therefore they don't want to have 17 slides with all the detail on that might be appropriate in a project team meeting. And therefore, I think having a clear view in your own mind of how you would express the project if you were asked is really important. And also, I think it's a natural consequence of, you know, when you appraise your project, you'll have your own barometer about the kind of things you're worried about. And I think if you can map that to the kind of things that are important, you'll not just have an LA to pitch, but you'll have your focus in the right place. But absolutely, I think when you talk about senior stakeholders, you need to prepare for those conversations or be prepared for them to happen to you. Absolutely.
Yep. We have a comment. Resonates well, as I feel confident in my knowledge and experience, but now, sorry, I can't see, it's quite small, but I know I need to work on my behavioural soft skills. Do you have any comments?
Well, I would say that's firstly, it's a great thing to recognise. The thought process then becomes, you know, what does that look like for you individually, and how might you approach that? I've mentioned mentoring a few times, and you know, there are other ways that you could do this, but I would say that mentoring is a great way to explore that for a couple of reasons. One is, by and large, a mentor will be somebody outside of the direct line of management in your particular project, your particular company. And therefore, they won't have preconceptions. And therefore, you won't be inhibited by talking to them openly about the kind of challenge you've got and what you'd like to achieve. And secondly, in a mentoring relationship, the focus is all about you. So it goes back to this personal development piece. And therefore, it'll help you kind of tap into what are the most important things for you. And practically, what might that look like in terms of steps that you take towards developing those behavioural skills? Equally, though, I would ask you to trust in the people around you at work and have those kind of conversations. And maybe in this instance, you know, talk to your line manager and say, I think, you know, in terms of my development, this is what I think is most important for me, and this is why. And, you know, can you help me? Can you get me some guidance? Can you get me support in these areas?
Thank you, Richard. We do have a few more questions. One question is, building a career in project management, is it important to start early by picking an industry to focus on, or would you advise to focus on getting the breadth of experience first?
It's a difficult one, but by and large, I would say that if you take some specialist examples where this doesn't work, and I'd say construction is one, and probably engineering is another, where you need to understand the specialty to be effective in project management. Outside of that, good, solid project management and project experience equips you to adapt to different project environments. But I would say what's important is that you try and find a working environment that interests you. Because project management, if it's not in something that motivates you in some way or fulfills you in some way, can be quite dull. So where you have an opportunity, I'll try and think about the kind of environment that you'd like to be in and work through your project management career in that kind of environment if you can. If you can't, developing your project management experience gives you a range of options outside of the industry that you start in.
Do you have any advice on managing those considerably more senior than you when they are the ones who need complete tasks?
Yeah, it's a very broad subject. I think the question we had previously about being prepared for those conversations is really important. And I think as well, it's a positive thing to ask questions. So I think it's a positive thing to ask them for their guidance or ask them for their experience or insights. But I think whatever you want to get out of the conversation, the preparation is really important because you'll get a small, relatively small window for that discussion. But never be afraid to ask questions. I think it's really important in any kind of environment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We have a question. They do believe it's a hard question, so I'm just throwing it at you. Okay. But I have completed a DSDM course certification. Yep. And would like to work in PM or a PM adjacent role. The problem, I have never worked in project management, work in a role office that has no formal PM. It's an unusual field of work and no PM socially. Any ideas where to start?
Well, I think from the understanding of going through the question, it's incredibly difficult, if not virtually impossible, to develop a project management career without being in a project management environment. So I think there's always concepts of project management you can apply in a role, but DSDM is principally more aligned to sort of software development, software engineering type of projects, not exclusively, but typically it's where it lends itself. And so I think, you know, if your goal is to be project management in that kind of environment where you can apply the principles of DSDM, you may need to look at a journey into a different organization or a different environment.
Yeah. Any good job boards to get an idea of other sectors that might pique my interest?
Well, I would say, you know, my experience, the safest and most reliable place to go and look at roles is LinkedIn. And I say that because you can look at opportunities on there, but also you can research the company. And I think it's important that when you look at an organization and making a change and going to work for a new company, as well as understanding the role, understanding the company and the culture a little bit. And LinkedIn's great for that. So you could take any kind of company, you could search them, go onto their page, and you get a list of the people who work there. And you can connect with a few of those people, look at what they're posting, and see how they feel about the organization, as well as just understanding the organization through their marketing and through their website. I think that, you know, the recruitment kind of world is so vast. You'll get good recruitment agencies, you'll get less than good recruitment agencies. But I think trying to get a sense of companies you'd like to work for, exploring that through LinkedIn is great, and making contact through LinkedIn with the right people is great. Having a good LinkedIn profile, that's things that people go and look at principally. And a good practice, just having a symmetry between your LinkedIn profile and your CV. But the roles I've had, we haven't had to go out to external recruitment agencies to resource those. But you'll find good and bad out there. But I think LinkedIn's a great way to find out where the open roles are, find out a lot about the companies, and maybe make some contacts so you get to find out about the roles before they hit the job boards.
Do you need to be accredited PM before joining APM or PMI?
No. So with the APM, there's a number of levels of membership, and one of which is associate, which is where people have a limited or no existing experience of project management. There's a full member, where the application process is predicated on you've got 5 years of project management, but you could even join as a student as well. But no, for the APM, you can join as an associate, You'll get benefit of the networking kind of events and the webinars and the learning resources. And I would strongly recommend it. But there's no formal entry criteria as such.
Yeah. Greg, I believe Robin has actually gave you a comment. So thank you, Robin, actually, for that. Does anyone have any more questions? I believe, I'm so sorry, I really don't know how to pronounce your name. Saika also provided a comment for you, Greg. Just give a few more minutes if anyone has any more comments or questions.
Okay, let me just go to your last page, Sevchen. So,
Richard, can you go back to the one before, please? Just a quick note, Knowledge Train and Agile KRC has the following courses. A few people in the comment section did want information. So if you do want information on any of these courses, please let me know in the comments and I'll be more than happy to send them over to you. Richard, can I go back to the last page, please?
Yeah.
Thank you. And these are our informations. So how you can get in contact with us. But apart from that, you can always let us know in the comments.
I think I'd also say, Sevchen, if I can, for people on the call, you can look me up on LinkedIn. And if you've got any questions that you want to ask following this discussion, please feel free to link in and make contact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I will quickly find your LinkedIn profile. Just while I quickly look it up, we have a question. What course is best to take, please? Agile PM or Prince 2 Agile?
I think if your interest is in Agile specifically, DSDM is the one to go for. And I say that because it focuses on the Agile method and the Agile kind of manifesto much more, where Prince 2 is trying to ally it into a Prince 2 model. And I think most commonly used in the wider world is more a pure kind of Agile rather than Agile within a Prince framework. But that's general guidance. I think you need to look at the role and the environment in question. But generally, I think DSDM is a great course to go on. And I think it's a great introduction into Agile.
Thank you. I don't think I missed any questions, but if I did miss out your question, please let me know.
Yeah, and I think you're going to kind of, when you publish the materials, you could publish my LinkedIn profile on there.
Yeah, definitely. Richard, a few people have actually thanked you for a very good session. Just while we are on it, I do have a few questions.
Yep.
Just to get the participants' feedback. So if you can answer these five or six, I believe, six simple questions, it won't take a lot of your time. That would be great. Thanks, Richard. Thank you, Richard. It's been a great webinar. Thank you so much. Thanks, it's been brilliant. Very satisfied. Thank you very much. Really value the professional. Oops, keeps going up, going down. Really value the professional and personal development content. Good session. Sandra has actually commented, can we have Richard as a mentor?
Well, I can definitely help with that. I can definitely help with that. So, but I'd like to thank you all for taking part and participating. Been some great questions come through, so I've really enjoyed the experience. Thank you, Sevchen, for giving me the opportunity.
I would also like to mention that on behalf of Richard, we will be donating to Leeds Hospital Charity. So that is great. Obviously, Richard is the person that actually preferred. So thank you so much, Richard, for that.
No, well, thank you. This is all around MND, by the way, and a guy you've probably seen quite a lot in the news, Rob Burrows and Kevin Sinfield. So it, local charity for my company, and MND is definitely a very, very worthy charity. So thank you for the donation, Sir Chen. Thank you.
I don't think we do have any more questions. If you do, you can always put them down in the comment. We'll just give a few more minutes just in case people has a comment. But if you don't, you can stay or you're free to go. We do have a question by David. Yep. How hard or how easy is it to become a project manager at 50 years old?
Well, so good question, David. So I'm 57, by the way, so I feel I'm qualified to answer that. So I think, whether you're 30, whether you're 50, it comes back to two principles. So, one is your professional kind of background equipping you for a career in project management? And secondly, I think it's how you kind of engage with companies who are looking for project managers that is able to demonstrate a track record that's relevant and demonstrate that commitment to becoming a project manager. So yes is the quick answer. And how you do it would largely be the same kind of approach, whether you're 20, 30, 40 or 50. It's about being able to look at your motivations, why you want to be a project manager, be able to express that when you talk to potential employers, be able to kind of position the experience you've got in life as well as professionally to equip you for a career in project management and demonstrate that desire and that motivation.
We do have two comments based on the age. Yeah. Tanya is saying, not at all. I started this in my 50th year.
There you go.
And Isabella, I got a PM job at 49 due to experience in waste.
Well, there you go. Two endorsements, absolutely.
I think we should start ending. Oops, one more typing. Very good webinar, thanks. Thank you, everyone. Yep, sorry.
I think I might know Teresa from LinkedIn.
I think one person did say that they sent you a message or they're going to send you a message.
Okay, very good. Yeah, Teresa's asking where my dog is. He's at home sleeping, Teresa, I imagine. If he's not sleeping, he's eating.
If anyone doesn't have any more questions.
Right, I've just seen one from Nicole. Yeah, Nicole, it'd be good to catch up. Nice to hear from you.
does not seem to. Hope you have a nice weekend. Thank you. Does not seem that we have any more questions. Thank you so much, David. I think I should start ending the webinar. If you have any more comments, if you do have any questions, you can always email Knowledge Train, or I will put my email here as well. So thank you all for attending. Thank you, Richard, for attending our and becoming a speaker. I really appreciate it. No, I myself actually learned a lot as well, so thank you so much for that.
No, you're welcome.
Yep. So everyone, I hope you have a nice evening and a good weekend. Hope to see you in the next webinar.
That's great. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sevchan. Very much appreciated.